In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. So today we have a lot of imagery and allegory, if you want, about things of nature. Jesus talks about the seed that is sown by the farmer. Mark is the only one that tells that particular parable. But then we also have the mustard seed as well. But we also have the passage from Ezekiel. And Ezekiel's passage is full of the imageries of a tall cedar tree. Now, the unique thing about that is, as you read through the Old Testament, and they are about to build the temple of God, where do they get the tall trees? Not local, okay? There are no tall trees in Israel. In fact, in most of the Middle East, there are very few places where trees are tall enough to be used for building buildings. This is why most of the places are made out of stone or masonry of some kind. So they have the cedars of Lebanon, okay? Think sequoias of California, okay? That's the kind of thing you have. They didn't grow anywhere else. They were only there. And so Ezekiel, through the prophecies of God, is using that as an example and a description because of their height and their majesty. And trust me, if you came from a place, oh, say like West Texas, where there aren't trees, and all of a sudden you go visit the sequoias, you're like, wow, right? Well, that's what happened over there. And so they're using that as a wonderful description of God raising up, not Israel, Babylon. Babylon in order to exact God's commands. And it's going to be through that evil empire that the people of Israel come back to God. The people of Judah, the people who are scattered because of the Babylonians. And Ezekiel is warning them, this is what's going to happen. It's not going to be Egypt. It's not going to be the other places. It's going to be Babylon, this new nation that didn't exist at the time of Ezekiel. They were afraid of the Assyrians. And he's saying, nah, God's raising up somebody bigger. So now then we come to St. Paul's lesson, and St. Paul is encouraging us, but one of the things that we notice is St. Paul never uses a parable in any of his lessons. Why? Was storytelling not a thing? I mean, Paul was a Pharisee. Paul would have been very familiar with the use of parables. But there's a fact that I just actually learned this week myself. Jewish rabbis have never taught a parable in any other language than Hebrew. And they would maintain that neither would have Jesus. The parables were to be taught in the formal language of the people. Remember that during Jesus' time, the common languages in the marketplace were Greek and Aramaic. And probably in the streets and even in the houses, people would have used Aramaic to speak with each other, but never in the synagogue. Never when teaching. They always taught in Hebrew. Paul continues that tradition. Paul also never uses agricultural images. Jesus used them all the time. The Old Testament uses them all the time. They're usually almost always references back to the Garden of Eden and the fact that God is the one who controls and is the creator and nurturer of everything from nature. The one commentator I read said, Paul most likely didn't use that imagery because in Roman and Greek understanding, all of that is controlled by other gods. And he didn't want to go there. He wanted to make sure that they were centered on God and on Jesus, not their old gods. So Paul's trying to introduce to them the new God, the right God, the only God. One of the images I love about, especially the mustard seed, is that it's a very small seed, starts from almost nothing, and eventually grows into a large bush. Now, I'm thankful that they now use the shrub. When I was a kid, they used to say grew into a large tree. There again, go to Israel and see mustard seed bushes about this tall, okay? Olive trees will get to be about 8 or 9 feet maybe if they're really big. And those are maybe at the youngest a couple hundred years old. There are several in Jerusalem area that were there when Jesus was there. That's the olive tree. And it's actually more like it shoots up branches from the ground. That's how it grows. It doesn't have a central trunk with branches off of it. An olive tree sends up shoots out of the ground. That's why it's no good for building, but it's great for making the things that you see out in the narthex. It's a beautiful wood. Just don't build anything with it. But it also takes a long time to grow. The mustard plant, you're not getting a bush this big in a year. It takes a while. So, part of Jesus' point is, you know, how many of us plant gardens, whether flower gardens or vegetable gardens? You plant them and, you know, the taste of those tomatoes is, you can't wait for it, but you have to. And a lot of times that's pure pain, you know, and you're watching it and you're tending to it, but you're not the one responsible. Right? You know that God is the one who gives growth to that plant. God is the one that brings forth the fruit of that plant. Your job? To be faithful. To do that which you are called to do. You till the soil around it. You water it. God brings the rain. You care for it, but sometimes, no matter your best efforts, they just don't make it. That's usually my result. I don't have the green thumb in the family. So this is why Jesus uses this imagery. And I think to the apostles, you know, here they are walking the earth with the guy that they've really determined is the Messiah. And they're looking forward to him taking over, bringing in the angel armies, being the next Joshua. You know, names are the same. And they're going to make the new Jerusalem the capital city. You know, the new Babylon, the new Rome. And they're going to take over, and it's going to be right now in their lifetime. And, you know, they come and say, can we be at your right hand or your left hand? And Jesus says, you just don't understand. And then he talks about his death and resurrection, and they blank it out. They're an anxious farmer. They want the restoration of Israel now. And what does Jesus give them? A mustard seed. They plant a church starting with 12. Excuse me? This is God restoring his kingdom? What about your ministry? Do you feel like it's a mustard seed, not doing much of anything? Just kind of wallowing there? I'm in the midst of reading James Michener's book on Texas. You can't hold it and read it. This thing is every bit this thick. It's huge. That's Michener. But it just passed the point where this family moves from Tennessee to the land that Austin had set aside for people to come from the Americas, to come and settle. And this family comes, and this the woman in the family brings a small packet in a little satchel of corn that she's going to plant in the new land, in their land. But what I love about the story is she knows fully that her job is to protect that seed until she gets to the land, and then that's where God takes over. And if that seed takes, God will bless them in that land. From that beginning comes what you and I live in. They didn't see it. The apostles did not see the church of Jesus as we see it now. This past week, much of the Anglican Communion met in Egypt to talk about our future, to talk about ways that we can be there for each other, assisting, loving, following the commandments of God and Jesus. This is a large shrub of which we are a part. Look back at the history of St. Mark's. A few families gathered together in order to start worshiping in the Anglican way. I don't think any one of them envisioned what you have today. Our job is not to be the be-all and end-all. Our job is to be. Our job is to be faithful, to follow Jesus, to plant where he asks us to plant, to nurture where he asks us to nurture, and then watch what he does. It is amazing what God can do with a little thing. You may think that your ministry amounts to much of nothing. I can tell you now that God uses every much of nothings to bring them to his glory and his praise. That's our job. Faithfully tend to even that which we think might be much of nothing. For after all, it's God's. Amen.